Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. It is Denise Salcedo. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. My God, what a night, everybody. Jesus Christ. Sorry, I'm a couple minutes late. I was running around. Just so much happened in that finale, that closing of AEW Rampage that kind of had me all over the town in terms of just hectic overall hecticness, because the last everything that went down with CM Punk basically confused everybody and their mothers. And we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to kick the show off with that, because there was a lot of confusion. There were some decisions that were made that I think kind of has us questioning some things. So there's a lot to unpack here right now, everyone. So welcome to the show. We will get into the CM Punk stuff first, and then we'll review the rest of Rampage, and then I'll get into SmackDown. So there is a lot to get in here. But before we get started, if you are new to the show, welcome. Thank you guys so much for joining. If this is your first time, thank you for tuning in. And if you are a person that's been here before, just know, keep the chat going, guys. I don't bite. Send in comments, send in your thoughts, etc. Send them in your ideas, your fantasy booking, whatever it is, send them in the comment section. On top of that, if you would like to support this show, please send in a super chat at any point. If you do want to get your question, comment, or statement read on this show, 100% guaranteed you can do so by sending in a super chat. It gets your comment read and also helps support me and this show. We are kicking things off with Cadillac Carson super chat, who says, here you go, Denise, so you can have more than just a bagel for dinner. Thank you so much to Cadillac Carson. All right. So let's get into the CM Punk stuff, because let's be real, that's what everybody wants to talk about. And that's what's fresh in my mind right now. Okay, so let's discuss this. On Wednesday, on AEW Dynamite in Los Angeles, I mentioned and we saw CM Punk limping. Some people said they saw him limping when he actually came out and did his entrance. I didn't catch that part, so I can't confirm that because I didn't see that. However, I saw the limping when the whole, you know, thing went down with CM Punk and MJF during that commercial break, where he came out after MJF did his pipe bomb and CM Punk came out limping, and it looked like he wanted to talk to MJF. And that was one of the things that I kept mentioning. I remember when I even put this information out there, I even put, like, dude, CM Punk came out and he was limping. But then I thought, okay, he just finished a match. Maybe that's the reason he was limping. I didn't think that it was something, you know, more serious, like an injury or anything like that. I didn't think of it in that sense. I just thought, oh, well, maybe he just, you know, he just finished a match, whatever, right? Okay. So fast forward to today, to AEW Rampage, a couple hours before the show, maybe like 2-3 hours, somewhere around there, CM Punk puts out a tweet basically saying that he has an important announcement regarding the AEW World Championship. And we're not idiots. We all put 2 and 2 together. We all know that when someone says you have an important announcement regarding the championship, chances are it's not going to be a good one. And so CM Punk comes out, and man, guys, we already knew it. Like, we already knew that this was not going to be a good announcement. And I got to tell you, like, I'm so freaking bummed. I'm bummed for CM Punk. The second that he came out, I mean, the guy had, like, watery eyes. You could see the heartbreak on his face. You can see the heartbreak. Like, the guy was shattered, man. And I was watching him, and I was just like, pardon my language, I was like, fuck, I cannot believe this is happening. I feel so freaking bad for him. And the reason that is like, guys, this is CM Punk, man. Like, he just had, like, this fairy tale story where he's gone for several years from wrestling. You know, you can say he fell out of love with wrestling, you know, just, you know, shit hit the fan. He finally comes back. He's, you know, he's in this promotion that wasn't a thing when he left wrestling and became a thing. And he's here in AEW. And, you know, I remember being at that All Out media scrum. I remember seeing him at multiple media scrums. I've attended attended every media scrum that CM Punk has been part of. And I've seen the progression of like him coming in, him becoming number one contender, him all of a sudden becoming champion. It was like this huge progression. And during all of these media scrums, this was the number one thing you saw. If you watch these, you know what I'm talking about. The number one thing that you saw was him being so emotional over the fact that he even got the second opportunity in life, that he got the second opportunity in his career. And, you know, he's crying and he's, you know, talking about how thankful he is and how blessed he is and how much gratitude he has for the opportunities that he has been given and the second chance that he has been given in wrestling. So if you've seen any of these media scrums with with CM Punk, you would know what I'm talking about. And even then, even just like the promos that you've been seeing from CM Punk since his return, you would see that he cares about what he's doing and he's passionate and blah, 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 all of it, all of it. So because of that, you know, the second he came out and he had the watery eyes, it just came to me like right away where I was like, this is not the situation. This is not the position that we wanted to see CM Punk in. This was not the ideal. This was not the ideal vision, right? Not CM Punk's, not his fans, not Tony Khan's, etc. And so we finally have this big moment where he becomes AEW World Champion, etc. All right, back to the promo. So today, the second we saw the watery eyes, we knew our suspicions were confirmed that he was injured. And so he basically starts talking about how in a previous promo, he had told the fans that he was going to keep going until the wheels had fallen off. And then he starts saying that he hopes that he hasn't disappointed the fans, and he hopes he hasn't disappointed the fans. And then he tells us that he loved every single second that he has been in the ring here in AEW. He then tells us that he has good news and bad news. The bad news saying that he's injured and that he needs surgery. Then he said the good news is that I'm still going to keep going. I'm still going to, like, the wheels have not completely fallen off is what he alluded to. And then he said that he had told Tony Khan that he was willing to relinquish the AEW World Championship, that he was willing to relinquish the title. However, Tony Khan told him, hey, like, this is just a bump on the road. It's just a bump on the road. You know, I believe in you. So based off that little portion, I'm like, okay, so we're probably going to get an interim champion. Like, CM Punk hasn't essentially dropped the title, especially because when somebody relinquishes the title, you usually see them like lay the belt down or something like that. CM Punk didn't do any of that. So I right away was like, okay, so it's going to be an interim. They're going to crown an interim champion at some point, and then, you know, circle back when CM Punk is better. Because as of right now, we do not know, at least us, the people, we do not know the severity of CM Punk's injury. We do not know how long he's going to be out for. We do not know how long his rehab is going to be. We don't know any of the finer details just yet. So then, prior to going to commercial break, Chris Jericho on commentary says CM Punk has relinquished the championship. And I'm like, but that's not what he kind of alluded to in the promo. Okay, so I go on Twitter and I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And I see everybody on my timeline pretty much along the same boat as I am, where I'm like, I thought this was what CM Punk meant, but then all of a sudden we had Chris Jericho saying he relinquished the title. Okay, fine. So we come back from commercial break, and then again, Chris Jericho says CM Punk has relinquished the championship. And I'm like, okay, well, he said it twice, then that clearly means that that CM Punk has relinquished the AEW World Championship. All right, that settles it. Okay, so then we're going into the main event, and bless the main event, because I was not able to pay attention to any of it because the whole trying to put together everything with CM Punk, etc., kind of took everything away from the main event. Everything. I cannot tell you one thing that happened on the main event. Why? Because I was so focused on the CM Punk situation. So then they finally made an announcement saying like, oh, breaking news or something. This is from Tony Khan, etc. This is what he's decided. So The decision is that next week on Dynamite, we are going to be getting a battle royal. And that battle royal will determine the opponent for the number one contender, John Moxley. So first they said John Moxley is the number one contender. And next week on Dynamite, we're going to have a battle royal. And that person that wins the battle royal will go on to face John Moxley at the Forbidden Door. And whoever wins that match is going to become your interim AEW World Champion. Now, there's still more with that, because if you're sitting here and you're like, wait, John Moxley is the number one contender, what's happening? Well, John Moxley is technically not the number one contender. And for those of you who are like, we have a ranking system, guys. I'm on the website right now, allelitewrestling.com, official AEW rankings as of Wednesday, June 1st, 2022. The number one contender is Wardlow. Number two is Adam Cole. Number three is Hangman Page. Number four is Jon Moxley. And number five is Jay Lethal. So, but apparently it's Jon Moxley. So there was just a lot to unpack there. So before we get into all of that stuff, let's get some reactions in here, guys. How did you feel about this whole situation, how this played out? I personally do not think that there should have been this much confusion over whether or not CM Punk had relinquished the title. I don't know why there was confusion with the commentary and why commentary, because usually commentary is there. Like, let's say someone cuts a promo and they forget to say something, or maybe they didn't explain it right. Commentary is usually the people that are like, oh, like, you know, just to, you know, reiterate, this is what's happening, blah, blah, blah. We didn't get that. Why was there such a big disconnection between commentary and what was supposed to be happening? So I don't know why there was that big disconnection, but I was not a fan of that, because it really just confused the hell out of everybody. But let's see what people are saying here. Let's see what we got, because we got a couple of comments. This is a super chat from Steven, who says, and this is for dessert after dinner. Thank you so much for the super chat, dude. I appreciate it. Okay, so let's get some comments in here. Once again, guys, if you want to get your question, comment, or statement read on the air, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. It also helps support this show and keeps me funded. But let's see what people are saying. Oh, man. Okay, so here we go. We got a lot of people basically not having nice things to say about commentary on, or rather Jericho's comment on that. And I don't blame them, because again, it was very, very, confusing, people pointing out that, there was confusion, obviously, amongst a lot of people. Okay. So we got people, you know, putting over Wardlow. Alexis P says John Moxley jumped ahead with his Garcia match. The Kaya Put says they put Wardlow in a comedy segment and a jobber squash match. I'm terrified now because they don't know what to do with him. Wardlow has been a huge topic too. Not so much because of what you would think, like, oh, because Wardlow got super over during this feud with MJF, but rather he's been a hot topic because everybody kind of feels like they don't really know what they're doing next with Wardlow right now. Like, Wardlow should have instantly been put in some sort of position to like reap off the fact that he is super hot right now and, you know, freaking like benefit from that, like reap the rewards of Wardlow getting over. We got people saying Wardlow for champ, give the belt to Adam Cole. People saying this was total confusion. We got a super chat from Roberto Arsenal, who says Hangman is a better wrestler than Moxley. Give it to Hangman. Hangman versus Tanahashi will be a great match, says Roberto. So here's my thing, guys. I don't know why, and give, again, we don't know, they haven't announced who's going to be in the Battle Royal unless they announced it like a second ago on social media. I haven't seen anything. So if they did, I'm sorry. But as of right now, we do not know who is in this Battle Royal. And I think doing the Battle Royal is kind of dumb. I don't like the idea of the Battle Royal. Why are we having a Battle Royal when we have an actual ranking? Why don't you take your top two, your top three, your top four ranked guys, do a match with them, and then, or, you know, do something like that where you could I know that they obviously want to have the match at Forbidden Door, and they want to crown the champion at Forbidden Door. That's cool. The interim champion, excuse me, at Forbidden Door. That's cool enough. But why do we have to do the Battle Royal? Like, the Battle Royal, to me, lessens it. It lessens the person that is going to be in the match with Jon Moxley. Like, I think that they should have not done a Battle Royal, and I think that they should have done, again, they could have done... they could have put Wardlow, who's your technically your number one contender, at least on as of this chart here. They could have done Wardlow. They could have done Adam Cole. Shit, Hangman Page. Think about that. If they wanted Jon Moxley to for sure be in the match, then maybe they could have even done that. They could have done something along those lines. Anything. I just don't think that the Battle Royal, to me, is the way that I would have done it. It lessens the position. That's how I feel about it. Let's see what people are saying. Man, I'm heated. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying, just give me Mox versus Tanahashi for the interim AEW World Championship, since Tanahashi hinted that he wanted the AEW World Championship on Dynamite. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for also sending in this very, very generous super chat here. Pro Wrestling Fan says, to me, it seems like the winner of the Battle Royal will face Moxley in the main event of Dynamite, and the winner of that match will face Tanahashi at the title of Forbidden Door. No, they said that the winner will, Moxley is going to face whoever wins the Battle Royal at Forbidden Door. That's what they said. Let's see. Redman Survivor says, the winner of the Battle Royal versus Moxley is happening on Dynamite, not at Forbidden Door. That is not what they said. Let's see. What are people saying? Is there confusion with that too? Let's see. I'm looking at the comments here. Make sure that I didn't mess up. Did I mess up now? All this confusion and everything's going crazy. Christopher Marino sends in a super chat saying, unless the winner is not in the top five, like Miro, says Christopher Marino. Okay, so here we go. We got Redman Survivor who says, that is what is said. Excalibur said the Battle Royal winner will face Mox on Dynamite. Okay, well, now I got to go ahead and fix that up there. Marcus Choi says, we are talking about Forbidden Door pay-per-view. The Battle Royal gives us the opportunity to let someone from New Japan Pro Wrestling to win the interim title. Bear in mind, this is Forbidden Door pay-per-view between New Japan Pro Wrestling and AEW. Thank you, Redman Survivor says, Battle Royal to kick off Dynamite. Winner will face number one contender Jon Moxley in the main event for a shot at the interim AEW World Championship at Forbidden Door. Okay. Let me read that again. Battle Royal to kick off Dynamite. Winner will face number one contender Jon Moxley in the main event for a shot at the interim AEW World Championship at Forbidden Door. That's how I read it. What are you guys reading? All right. And then we got more people saying, why Mox? He's not the number one contender. And everybody's saying it's confusing. Guys, I still read it that way, as in Twitch face 4. Denise, are you pulling a Chris Jericho? Mike Amenia says, I'm surprised AEW botched a simple announcement and made it so confusing. Like, even reading that verbatim, that doesn't tell me that the match is going to be at Dynamite. That tells me that the match is going to be at Forbidden Door. Am I crazy? Am I a crazy person right now? Okay. Zeno Hour says, SRS just tweeted, I gave up trying to tweet about that AEW title situation. I was confused as hell. Yeah. Thank you so much to Blair for sending in a super chat saying, Wardlow wins Battle Royal, someone dressed in Burberry, hint, hint, screws Wardlow, and Mox wins AEW, wins interim AEW bout. See, here's the thing. I like the idea of Wardlow winning the Battle Royal, even though he's number one contender and shouldn't technically have to, but whatever. Let's say he does. Okay, fine. I do not think Wardlow should screw him. That storyline, to me, for right now, it's done. Wardlow already got his revenge. He already beat the living lights out of him at Double or Nothing. So why would he come out and screw Wardlow? That to me would feel like we're going backwards instead of forward. So I technically would not sign up on that idea, but I do like the idea of Wardlow coming in and winning the Battle Royal. Although, again, I really do wish it would have been a different structure of a match, because there's going to be other guys in that Battle Royal that I'm like, why would I want them to win this match? Like, they're not even, like, there's going to be like non top 10 ranked guys in that battle royal. Like, why would I want them to get to even have a shot at the AEW World Championship, interim AEW World Championship? You know, like, it should have been like the top, some sort of match with like the top three, top five ranked guys. Like, that's why the ranking system is there. Okay. Let's see. We got people saying, I think we're all feeling a little bit crazy right now. Andrew A sends in a super chat saying, I almost cried watching the promo after being at Double or Nothing and seeing my favorite win. Lovely to meet you at GCW. Sorry for being so nervous. Andrew, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming up and saying hello to me at GCW and all of that. I love meeting you guys. Like, I love it so much. It literally makes my life, my day, my everything. And yeah, I kind of felt like, I felt emotional today, kind of seeing CM Punk just, you know, have to be put in that situation where he has to, you know, step away and not do what he wants to do. My name is Not Earl says the interim champion will be crowned at Forbidden Door. Mox and Battle Royal one-on-one for number one contender to face Tanahashi probably. See, that's what I say. I'm so confused. I don't even know anymore. I give up, guys. I give up. I'm done. I am done. Let's see what we got here. We got so many different comments going on here. Andrew Cook says, how last minute was the doctor telling Punk he needed surgery for TK not to be able to make things clear to everyone backstage before the show? I'm almost wondering if it was one of those situations where they don't want any of this information being leaked to the SRSs of the world. So I feel like they kind of maybe kept it hush-hush and wanted people, including commentary, to possibly find out live and in the moment as everybody else. Maybe they didn't want this information to get out or any possibility of it being leaked. I don't know. Like, that's my only assumption because, like I said, why is there this disconnection between the commentary and what was happening, what was actually happening here. We got a comment here saying New Japan is an equal footing as AEW, so you don't need a battle royal to get Tanahashi a title shot. Tanahashi being Tanahashi gets him a title match. The ace, man. Let's see what else we got here. Odezzi says they just tweeted about it. Can you let me know what they tweeted, guys? Because if someone can just copy and paste what they tweeted for me, please put it in the chat. That would be absolutely phenomenal. All right. So, Pro Wrestling Fan says the Battle Royal winner will face Mox in the main event of Dynamite, and the winner of that match will fight the interim title of Forbidden Door. Okay. Oh, man, I'm exhausted. All right, let me get this going. All right. Let's get into the rest of the show, and we'll talk more about CM Punk and all of this as more information rolls in and people send in the rest of all of this. Let's continue on because there's still so much to talk about here. So much. All right, so let's see. Let's go back. Let's rewind to the top of Rampage where we got the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers. Before we do, we got a super chat here from Zachary Busby. Thank you so much to Zachary who says, a fatal four-way with the top-ranked contenders, Wardlow, Adam Cole, Hangman, Mox for championship would have sacrificed almost everyone and made a lot. Satisfied. Let me reread this. Zachary says, a fatal four-way with the top-ranked contenders, Wardlow, Cole, Hangman, Mox for the championship would have satisfied almost everyone and made a lot more sense. Exactly. Dude, Zachary, come host a show with me because that is exactly what I was trying to get at and what I was saying at the beginning is that would have made way more freaking sense. Way more freaking sense. And I think the people would have been like, hell yeah, let's freaking do it. We got a ranking system. That's the way it freaking works, right? Oh, man, I'm hot. Christopher sends in a super chat saying, irregardless, there needs to be more quality matches announced for Forbidden Door at the end of the day. At the end of the day, we still don't even know what's really happening on that show. Thank you so much to Christopher for sending in this very generous super chat as well. Okay. My God. All right, so let's continue on from here. Let's get into this should not be overshadowed because of the whole CM Punk situation, but we need to seriously, and I mean seriously, Like, please throw all the flowers on the stage, throw the bills, throw whatever. The Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers was freaking phenomenal. Okay. This was better than so much. I want to come out here and really express how much I loved this match. And I cannot think of a way to let you, the people, know that I really love this match. I feel like I cannot put it over enough. First and foremost, please, let's give a round of applause to the Ontario crowd. They were phenomenal. They continued the Southern California electricity that Los Angeles had for AEW Dynamite. And Young Bucks versus Lucha Brothers, dude, it was just a freaking spot fest. I tweeted, I love the flippy shit. If you're into the flippy shit, this was your match. This was one of the things that you really enjoy seeing out of AEW. Now, this is the thing. We've seen Young Bucks Lucha Brothers before, and this is the first time we've seen them work together in the past. And when an announcement like Bucks and Lucha Brothers is made, you know what kind of match you want to see. You know what kind of match you're expecting, and anything else would have been a disappointment. So they went out there. They hit all their freaking spots, man. I mean, it was insane. And this went pretty long. This went like for a Rampage. Usually we don't always get these types of lengthy matches because, you know, they got to keep the show going. It's only an hour. They can only fit in so much on these shows. But they made sure to actually give us a lot of time. Shout out to the Young Bucks with their California gear, showing that California love. Thank God, because I love it. Obviously, you know, they're from here. We already know that. So am I. So I was very, very happy to see the Young Bucks with their California gear. Phenomenal. But let's talk about some of the things that actually happened in this match. I'm not going to recount every little thing, but some of my favorite portions were literally Nick Jackson and Rey Fénix going at it at the top of this match, both kicking each other, coming to their feet at the exact same time, both basically being on the same page and knowing what to expect from the competitor and the other person in the ring. Everybody hit their spot over the ropes, etc. Fénix then hits a beautiful tornillo. Oh my God. He looks like, I don't know, a firecracker or something. Looked great. The Bucks hitting their Hurricanrana. Rey Fénix doing the cutter. Tope con Hero from Rey Fénix. That was phenomenal. Matt does an elbow drop. Rey goes for the pin. Rey ends up getting... Rey kicks out and it's a near fall. We had a couple near falls. I think there was like three or something like that. But regardless, every time that I thought the match was legitimately over, it was not. So they really, really sold me with the near falls. Like, I bought them each and every single time. I hate matches when people go for the pin like 100 times and you're like, come on, bro. Like, we know that you hit them one time and all of a sudden you're going for the pin. We all know it ain't going to be a freaking 3 count. So I love when I actually buy the near falls. Like, if you're going to do a bunch of near falls, that's the point. You need to make sure the people actually buy everything that was done right before those near falls. And they made sure to do that. Rey Fénix doing the splash off of he was on the shoulders of Penta on the top rope doing his splash there. That was really cool. Penta doing the Canadian Destroyer, another near fall, the Meltzer driver from the Bucks. And then finally, we end up seeing the Bucks unmask Penta. And I'm so happy that commentary made a note that if this would have been Lucha Rules, that this would have been an automatic disqualification. So I'm very happy that commentary mentioned that. But the Young Bucks ended up super kicking Rey Fénix and getting the win here. So this was a phenomenal match. They kept it going for a good amount of time, and it was got the people all riled up. It was just a fun time. It's the kind of stuff you like to see and you expect, especially from guys like the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers. So this was definitely a win all across the board. Cadillac Carson sends in a super chat saying that tag match is the kind of match that you show your friends who are not wrestling fans. They would get a kick out of it. 1,000%. This is a match, like, if you want to show it to kids, families, you know, your mom, whoever, those are the matches that they're going to be like, oh shit. This is one of the things. Like, I feel, And I've noticed this, and we know this. I feel sometimes people look down upon fans that are into like the flippy shit, right? That are into the spot fest. I feel like sometimes fans look down on those fans, right? And I don't like that. I don't like that because I'm like, I watch wrestling to be entertained. And this is, if this is entertaining to me, then why should I be like looked down upon? And I get there are people's stances, but damn, when you got these flippy shit matches, everybody, I don't care who you are, you're like, ooh, at least a couple of people. I mean, there's going to be these people that are like, nah, but for the most part, people are going to be like, ooh. Anyways, stand up for the flippy shit. That's what I'm here for. Thank you, Cadillac Carson, for the very generous super chat. I appreciate it. Let's see what else we got here. Odesu the Beast says, I love the flippy shit. That's why I watch wrestling too. People who hate that are the boring fans. Like, I get it. I get it. Like, here's the thing. People are very different, and people like and respond to different things. My whole thing is don't shame people. Like, if people just want to watch, you know, that kind of wrestling, that style of wrestling, let them, you know, let them. Like, damn, like, people should be allowed to like what they like when it comes to wrestling. All right, let's see what we got here. This is from Redmond, who says the stuff my non-regular wrestling watching friends, they like the most is flippy lucha shit. Exactly. And why do you think lucha shows do so well? You know, for lots of reasons. All right. Let's go ahead and continue on from here. We got a quick squash match. Dude, did they even name the opponents for Hobbs and Starks? Like, please, if someone has their names, send them in, because I didn't even catch them. And I never saw like a nameplate, and if they showed it, I'm very sorry because I completely missed it. Completely missed the nameplate. Anyways, it was a quick squash match. Hobbs and Starks get the win, so good for them here. All right. Then after this, we got Kira Hogan versus Athena. Athena's official her AEW in-ring debut. And here's the thing. Like, I feel, and this is just based solely on observation, is that I think some people might have assumed that Athena was going to be a little bit more over than she actually was. I wouldn't say that Athena had, like, she got a huge pop, right? But I feel like at this point, whenever there's a surprise in AEW or like an unexpected person that's going to show up, people are going to react. People are going to pop for that because, like, yeah, like, we're here at the show where there's a surprise. Woo. But I did kind of feel like, I didn't feel like she was as over as maybe some people might have assumed that she would have been. So during this, I thought, okay, this is going to be Athena's chance to really kind of show the people, hey, this is what I can do. Because think about it. How long has it been since some of them have seen her? She's been on NXT 2.0 for the last couple of however long she was there. So a lot of people have gone a long time probably without actually seeing her wrestle. And so based on that, I'm thinking like, okay, you know, like, this was like an opportunity for her to remind people that, hey, this is what she can do, and this is why you should be a fan of me, and this is why I'm here. And I thought she did a phenomenal job at that. She went out there, you know, she was doing right off the bat, you see, you know, a really nice leapfrog from her, and it looked really good too. Crossbody, really nice. We see, obviously, the baddies get involved. Red Velvet, she sweeps the leg from Athena. You know, they get involved here and there during this match. Kiara does a leg drop on Athena. She goes in for the pin. It ends up being a near fall. The one criticism that I did have of this, and this is for Kiara, is that I really think that she needs to, like, lay it in more. She does not lay it in enough during her matches. Her kicks and her offense looked really, really weak. And so, and even, like, afterwards, like, because Kiara hit her with a couple of kicks, right? But they were, like, the softest looking kicks ever, man. And then afterwards, Athena then got her with, like, a combo of strikes, including, like, a really nice enziguri. She even, prior to that, she even hit her with a drop kick. Oh, man, the difference between the offense between Athena and Kiara was literally night and day. Night and day in what they were showcasing in in the ring in terms of in-ring skills and whatnot. So I do wish that Kiara kind of laid it in a little bit more, because if she's not, she's going to be easily forgettable. And we hardly even see her on Dynamite or Rampage as it is. So I feel like this was also an opportunity for Kiara to maybe, like, this was her opportunity. I wouldn't say it was completely blown out of the park on her end of things. I think that she could have just laid it in a little bit more. But for Athena, I thought that this was a really, really good in-ring debut. And yeah, I mean, I think she got a lot out of it. I think she did a lot that showed people, like, hey, man, she's talented and she can go. All righty. And then I did miss the main event, guys. So that's the one thing I'm not going to review, because I didn't even get to watch it. Why? Because I was too busy freaking tweeting about the CM Punk stuff. And then I looked at the clock and I was like, oh shit, I got a show to do. I got to go. So I'm very sorry about that. But we got pretty much every single other thing that happened on Rampage here today. All right. So let me get some thoughts in here. We got a super chat from Christopher. Thank you so much to Christopher, who says, Denise, I saw the jobbers' nameplates. They were Paywall King, Sean Mark, Sapp, and the Time Master. They got worked. Dude, I thought you were being legit for a second. I fell for this. When I saw the Paywall King, I was like, what? What's happening there? Thank you so much, Christopher, for making me laugh there. Let's see what we got here. We got, and I've already talked about this before too. Oh yeah, thank you to Aston Chu, who mentions the House of Black. We did get a promo. As you guys know, Julia Hart is officially Goth Julia now. I liked it. It was very simple. Just her basically saying, like, this is what you guys wanted. Now, you know, we're here and this is happening. So good stuff there. All right, let's see what else we got here, guys. And let's go ahead and get into, people are asking how long I think CM Punk's going to be off for. I don't know. Like, I'm like not even the person to ask that. I have no freaking idea. All right, let's go ahead and move on from here. We do got a comment here from The Worst Gamer, who says, fun fact about the main event, Scorpio Sky and Dante Martin are the only two men to wrestle for every men's belt in AEW. Dude, really? That's an awesome fun fact. Thank you so much for sending this in. I appreciate that. All right, guys, before we go ahead and move on, because this was a very eventful Rampage, I do want to go ahead and give a shout out to our sponsors, because without our sponsors, you know, they help out so, so much. They are my first sponsors ever for my Speak Now Pro Wrestling podcast. So I want to make sure to give them lots of love, man. This weekend, one of my followers won, legitimately won $1,000. Like, I'm not even jerking you around. They legitimately won $1,000. Like, bro, even I was jealous. So they won $1,000 when they did the AEW Double or Nothing Pick'em contest. Wild. Anyways. So now you have a chance. You can enter the Hell in a Cell Pick'em contest. It is currently open right now. And for those of you who are like, what the hell is a Pick'em contest? Well, you go over to WrestleRumble.com. You purchase an entry. You can purchase multiple entries, depending on how much you want to actually, you know, do. And you answer prop questions. They ask you questions like in terms of predictions, what you predict is going to happen at the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. And whoever scores the most points gets the $1,000. It's that simple. The deadline to enter the Hell in a Cell Pick'em contest is on June 5th, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So once again, June 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern time is the cutoff to enter the actual Pick'em contest. So just get in there. As long as you get in there right before the pay-per-view, then you'll be able to actually be able to enter. Once again, head on over to WrestleRumble.com. The links are in the description box below. And please hit them up on Twitter or on Instagram. Let them know you heard about them here on my show, so that they know I'm actually doing my job and, you know, promoting them and whatnot. Let them know I'm actually making sure to get those promo in, you know? On top of that, I wanted to say one more thing. Now I forgot. Oh, yeah. I'm doing a watch-along show. That's happening on the day of Hell in a Cell. And for those of you who don't know, the last time I was on a watch-along was for a Hell in a Cell watch-along. Let me rephrase that. The last time I did a WWE Hell in a Cell watch-along, I was that girl that was sitting next to Sean X Pac Waltman, who a bunch of people in the WWE chat room thought was Stephanie McMahon's daughter. That was me. And I was there for the very infamous Hell in a Cell match that ended in a DQ. All right. I was there for that. You can rewatch it. I make the world's most WTF face ever. And it's very embarrassing because I had to hide my true feelings, at least try, but I couldn't. Anyways, so I will be on my YouTube channel doing that. All right. Twitch Face 4 says, Denise, you're Stephanie McMahon's daughter. I wish, man, I'd be loaded as hell. I wouldn't be on here right now working on a Friday night. I'd be out living like my cool rich person life, but that ain't me. So I'm here. Working. All right, so let's get into WWE SmackDown. We got a couple things to talk about. First and foremost, Michael Cole celebrating 25 years. And right at the top, Pat McAfee mentioned that he's only ever missed 2 days. Is that legit? I almost can't buy that. Like, I can't believe, like, only missed 2 days? Dude, I missed 2 SmackDowns last month. By the way, no, I missed 3 SmackDowns. I missed 3 weeks of SmackDowns. And let me tell you, not much has changed when I came back here today. Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, they come out. They bring out Drew McIntyre. They give a shout out to Big E, who we love. And, you know, is at home recovering from a broken neck. He's recovering. We got a really nice chant with the crowd going, Big E, Big E. From here on out, we got Drew McIntyre riffing off of that. And now he's going by Big D. That is right. Drew McIntyre is now Big D. I mean, we all should have known, right? The guy literally has a 5-foot sword. He has a 5-foot sword. Drew McIntyre now going by Big D. This was funny. This was cute. You know, Xavier and Kofi telling him, like, hey, dude, like, chill. This is a family show. Good stuff there. Drew McIntyre says he wants to challenge Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Championship at Clash of the Champions. That's going down. After this leads into a 6-man match that was actually pretty damn good. Drew McIntyre, Xavier Woods, Kingston against Butch, Sheamus, and Ridge Holland. This was a fun match. It's what you would expect from all these guys there. Good opening 6-man tag. And Butch ended up getting the win for his team. So this was good. I'm glad they gave Butch the win. Again, I haven't been watching the last couple of weeks, guys. You guys know that I'm not the biggest. I haven't been able to tolerate SmackDown very often the last couple of weeks because I feel there's still so much missing from that, from the show. They need way more stars on there. They need new, fresh talent. They need talent that we care about. We need talent that we can actually get behind. They have a huge lack of that on SmackDown, and SmackDown was getting really hard for me to watch. And I said this before on a past couple of Friday shows where I kind of felt like it was easier for me to sit there and watch NXT 2.0 and Monday Night Raw than it was for SmackDown, which is not the thing you want to hear, because SmackDown being on Fox is supposed to be like this big grand show. Now, I was out the last couple of weeks because I was, you know, in New York, and then I was in Las Vegas, so I'm back. And I was wondering, like, how much have I actually missed from the show? How much of these storylines are going to be different? And I will tell you that I pretty much could have been gone for the whole month and everything is pretty much the exact same. Not much has changed. I'm still seeing the same people in the same matches, and I'm still seeing this exact same storylines. And this is one thing that definitely needs to be switched up for SmackDown, because I was having a hard time getting through those shows. This show was a lot better. I don't know if it was better because it'd been a while since I'd watched SmackDown, or because maybe it was just better. That I don't know. I can't answer that one for you. But we got Max Dupree, the former LA Knight. He's been on SmackDown now. I did know that. That's new. Good. He's been somebody that we have been saying for the freaking longest that he should be on the main roster. This guy was made for the main roster. He may not be, you know, you know, he may not be Bryan Danielson in the ring, but the dude is good on the microphone. The dude has charisma. He brings energy. You give him a character, he can work with it, especially if you give him like the douchey type of character. He's pretty good at that. He's pretty good at being like the egotistical type of guy. I like that. Max Dupri, good for him. I'm glad he's there. This is the spot that we have been trying to see him in on the main roster for quite some time. He's doing a modeling agent thing. This is new. This is the only part that's new for me on SmackDown, where I was like, what? He's a model manager? An agent? What? What's happening here? I forgot what he calls it. Can somebody send me the actual name? Because I know he calls it something, and I don't remember what it is actually. So send that in. But he's apparently going to unveil a new client next week. So good. I'm excited. Good for him. You know what? I'm rooting for you, Max Dupri. Thank you. Maximum Male Models. Maximum Male Models. This is great. Oh, I love that. I really, really love that. Maximum Male Models. Wait, did people catch that? That it's literally, please tell me this has already been discussed in the IWC, that Maximum Male Models, the acronyms is MMM. I really hope y'all know. I really hope this has already been discussed in the IWC, because if it hasn't, y'all drop the ball. All right, so moving on from here. So let me tell you guys a little story really quickly. I was going to go, the worst gamer says that's going to be the first t-shirt, or it should be. Okay, I was going to go to AEW Rampage today. It was in Ontario, but I checked Waze, that's my go-to app, to see how long it was going to take me to get to Ontario. It's going to be an hour and 40 minutes to go, just to get there. An hour and 40 minutes, and I was like, okay, I'll probably be in the building for like maybe 3 hours, and then I'm gonna have to drive back another hour and 40 minutes, maybe even a little bit more on the way back. I was not gonna do it. I was like, nah, that's just too much. It's too much. Then I don't get to do my show. It's just a lot. You know, I have responsibilities to do. And then I saw that the match that I was gonna be watching on SmackDown was Jinder Mahal versus Humberto. I saw the title card, like the match card pop up. And I thought, damn, I stayed home to watch SmackDown so that I could watch Jinder Mahal versus Humberto. And then it was in that moment where I was like, fridge, I should have driven an hour and 40 minutes to and from to go to Ontario. That was my honest thought. That was my honest to God thought. When they announce Jinder Mahal versus Humberto. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I hate to be a negative Nancy, but I just don't care about watching Jinder Mahal versus Humberto. They have been like treated like jobbers. Why should I care about watching Jinder Mahal versus Humberto? Why? Someone give me a legitimate reason why. And I know people are going to get mad. They're like, oh, you, Denise, you just don't like SmackDown. And people are going to be mean to me in the YouTube comments. But legitimately, why would I stay home to watch Jinder Mahal versus Humberto? I was questioning my life's decisions in that moment. Anyways, the match ended with Shanky dancing. And he ends up distracting. First, he distracts Jinder. And Humberto almost gets the win. But then Humberto notices Shanky's dancing. And then Humberto almost gets the win. But he ends up being distracted by Shanky's dancing. And so Jinder Mahal gets the win. Distracted via dancing. And then afterwards, I actually did like this. All right. Match. Ugh. I legitimately LOL'd though at the end. When we had Shanky really feeling himself, please bless his heart. He was really, really feeling himself because he started dancing, getting the moves going. He looks at Samantha, who is this gorgeous babe of a girl, and he's like, oh yeah, like come dance with me. He's like shooting his shot. Let's not forget that that's Ricochet's girlfriend, but whatever. So obviously, you know, she's like, ha ha, let's dance. And they end up dancing. But I swear to God, Shanky was so into it. If you didn't watch this, at least watch Shanky dancing. That was good. All right, that was fine. I can't crap on that. That was fine. My God. After this, we had the six-pack challenge. Winner to face Ronda Rousey, Raquel Rodriguez, Shotzi, Natty, Shayna, Xylee, Aaliyah. Ronda's watching at ringside. Aaliyah gets locked out of her locker room. And I'm thinking she gets locked out by Shotzi. So Shotzi did not want her in this match. So she locks her into her locker room. And we go to commercial break and we come back and they're like, okay, so we're going to get this match started without Aaliyah. And I'm like, how are they going to get this match started without Aaliyah? Like, we had a whole entire commercial break. You're telling me nobody could go back there and open the door for her? I was thinking that. And then Aaliyah came out. So I'm glad she came out because it wouldn't have been believable. Like, really, nobody could have opened the door for poor Aaliyah. Think about that. But anyway, so she came out. They did this match. I think this match could have been a lot better. There really wasn't, to me, anybody that got to really stand out during this match. And Natty ended up getting the win. And now it's going to be Natty versus Ronda Rousey. That's okay, I guess. It wasn't necessarily like my first option, but it's fine. We'll get a good wrestling match. We got a super chat here from Cole. Cole is here. He says, dang, breaking news. Alley traffic is super over. Gender and Umberto. Oh, you're saying, yeah, I'd rather sit in an hour and 40 minute traffic too, and then an hour and 40 minute traffic back than watching Jinder Mahal and Umberto. I feel bad. And I like Jinder. He's a very nice guy. And Umberto too, really nice guy. I've met and interviewed both of them. So I'm not like shitting on their real life personas. I'm just talking about what we're seeing on the actual show. Because I really do like them in terms of like their real life people. Like they're very, very nice. Very, very nice. I actually feel bad. I feel bad. Honestly, I feel bad whenever I don't like something. Because then I'm like, damn, I'm not going to like this. And then I'm going to interview this person and they're going to be so freaking nice. And I'm going to feel like so mean. And it's happened to me so many times. So many times. Like on NXT, my least favorite thing on NXT has been everything surrounding Joe Gacy and Bron Breakker. And Joe Gacy is such a freaking nice guy. I just did an interview with him. Very nice guy. Love that interview. Check it out. But then I feel bad because I'm like, dang, I'm not a fan of what you guys are doing right now on NXT with this. So it does kind of complicate things. But either way, thank you so much to Cole for sending in this very generous super chat. All righty. Moving on from here. Yeah, thank you, Christopher. As he says, it's not the person, it's the creative. Yeah, and a lot of people don't see it that way, but yeah, it's exactly what it is. Sal P says, you sound super Hollywood exec. Why should I be invested in this? Tell me. Oh my God, that is so true. Like, can you imagine hopping into Netflix and you're like so nervous, you're going to pitch a show, and then the executive is like, why should I be interested in this? Tell me, go. And then you have like a minute to pitch your Netflix show. Dang, that should totally be me. That should be my new job. All right, moving on. Madcap Moss returns, and he's no longer got the suspenders. Looking good. Looking good. Thumbs up, Madcap Moss. I don't want to sound like a perv or anything, but he looks good. Looks great. Couple of welcome back chants. No one really cares, but he's back. He's talking about how he buried the old Moss and he had nightmares of Baron Corbin, you know, making him tell jokes and how he's haunted. And I'm like, bro, we're all haunted by these jokes. He then calls Baron Corbin the human fedora rack. That was funny. Baron Corbin comes out. This leads to Corbin versus Moss for that night. They have a match. It ends in DQ. So clearly we're going to have a no holds barred match at Hell in a Cell. So it's been one of the newest matches added to the Hell in a Cell card. It's fine. It's fine. This story has been being told for a bit, so it should be on Hell in a Cell. It's fine. Next week, Gunther versus Ricochet for the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther, they need to give Gunther the Intercontinental Championship stat, okay? If Ricochet defeats Gunther in this match, I'm going to riot, and I'm sorry, but Gunther needs to win the freaking Intercontinental Championships. And I don't even want to have to explain my reasonings as to why, but he should, okay? Gunther is, you know, somebody that could be huge on the roster. And I'm not just talking size. I'm talking purpose and, you know, potential with Gunther. Please, I do not want to see him lose to Ricochet. Give him the gold. Put him over. Build new stars. We already know what they see in Ricochet. We already know that they're not going to push him to a certain past a certain level. There's still a chance there with Gunther. Lastly, we got the title match between Shinsuke Nakamura and teaming up with Riddle and going up against the Usos. But before I get to that, we have a super chat here from Brandon Rosen. Thank you so much to Brandon, who says, didn't watch SmackDown tonight, and I'm damned to be happy watching this podcast instead to confirm that I missed absolutely nothing. Love you, Denise. Brandon, I'm choking right now because I'm here telling you how nothing pretty much happened, and it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because I sat here the 2 hours. I watched live. I have to watch live because I'm on the West Coast, and I could only watch on Fox Sports on the website, and there's no, like, recording feature. I can't rewind. I can't fast forward. I got to watch live, or I miss it. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. So thank you so much to Brandon Rosen for the very generous super chat. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on from here. So after this, we had the main event, the title match, the Usos versus Shinsuke and Riddle. And they basically did an injury angle here. So they had Shinsuke Nakamura do a running knee, but instead of getting one of the Usos, he ends up hitting his knee on steel steps. And then afterwards, I forgot if it was Jimmy or Jay, but one of them kicks him in the back of the knee. And so they end up doing a whole injury angle around Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke Nakamura is taken out. So Matt Riddle has to finish this match by himself. And I actually really loved the finish because it was freaking hilarious. So They had Matt Riddle. He hits the floating bro, and then afterwards he hits the RKO off the top rope. And so it seemed like he was going to go for the win, right? He was going to go for it. But instead, the music hits. Roman Reigns' music hits, and everybody's like, oh! And so it distracts Matt Riddle, and that's how the Usos are able to get the win. But it's later revealed afterwards, because Roman Reigns never actually came out. So it was revealed afterwards that Sami Zayn was in the production truck and he was the one who had cued the music in order to help the Usos get the win. So I thought it was really funny. I love Sami Zayn. So I'm a very big sucker for everything that Sami Zayn does. I end up being a huge fan of. So I like the ending. I'm like, all right, it was fine. It was good. No harm, no foul. So there you go. That was the finish of SmackDown. All right, so that is today. Thank you guys so much, as always, for joining me here today. I appreciate all of you. If you had a good time, please help me spread the word about this podcast. Let people know that you guys watch Speak Now Pro Wrestling. Without you guys, I am nothing. So thank you guys so much consistently for your support. I will see you on my watch along over on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. I'm about to hit 60,000 subscribers. Please head on over there if you haven't already. And also, make sure to give this video a like and subscribe to the channel. Other than that, guys, have an awesome weekend. I'll see you all later. Bye, everyone. Thanks.